You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on the Telomere Effect. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Note on the Telomere Effect, a revolutionary approach to living younger, healthier, longer, by Elizabeth Blackburn and Alyssa Epple. As always, let's kick it off with a quote. By cultivating your telomeres, you can optimize your chances of living a life that is not just longer, but better. That is, in fact, why we've written this book. In the course of our work on telomeres, we've seen too many men and women whose telomeres are wearing down too fast, who enter the disease span when they should still feel vibrant. There is abundant, high-quality research, published in prestigious scientific journals and backed by the best labs and universities, that can guide you toward avoiding this fate. We could wait for those studies to trickle down through the media and make their way into magazines and onto health websites. But that process can take many years and is piecemeal, and sadly, information often gets distorted along the way. We want to share what we know now, and we don't want more people or their families to suffer the consequences of unnecessary premature cellular aging. When we lose people to poor health, we lose a precious resource. Poor health often saps your mental and physical ability to live as you wish. When people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond are healthier, they will enjoy themselves more and will share their gifts. They can more easily use their time in meaningful ways to nurture and educate the next generation, to support other people, solve social problems, develop as artists, make scientific or technological discoveries, travel and share their experiences, grow businesses, or serve as wise leaders. As you read this book, you are going to learn a lot more about how to keep your cells healthy. We hope you're going to enjoy hearing how easy it is to extend your health span. And we hope you're going to enjoy asking yourself the question, how am I going to use all those wonderful years of good health? Follow a bit of the advice in this book, and chances are that you'll have plenty of time, energy, and vitality to come up with an answer. End quote. That is Elizabeth Blackburn and Alyssa Epple from The Telomere Effect. Elizabeth Blackburn won the Nobel Prize for her discovery of telomerase, the enzyme that replenishes telomeres, which protect our genetic heritage. Alyssa Epple is a leading health psychology researcher. Together, they have created a great book that walks us through the best of what we know about telomeres, why they're so important, and what we can do to optimize them. If you've ever wanted to learn more about telomeres, this is the book to read. It's packed with wisdom and provides an incredibly thorough, rigorous look at what we know works. I'm excited to share some of my favorite ideas, so let's jump straight in. But first, a quick pronunciation lesson. Telomere is pronounced, as I keep on saying it, telomere, not telomere. Well, telomerase is pronounced telomerase. A little weird there, but there you go. Telomere. If you're like me, you used to say telomere. No more. With that, our first big idea, telomeres, plus dynamic aging at a cellular level. Quote, we're going to show you a completely different way of thinking about your health. We are going to take your health down to the cellular level to show you what premature cellular aging looks like and what kind of havoc it wreaks on your body. And we'll also show you not only how to avoid it, but also how to reverse it. We'll dive deep into the genetic heart of the cell, into the chromosomes. This is where you'll find telomeres, repeating segments of non-coding DNA that live at the ends of your chromosomes. Telomeres, which shorten with each cell division, help determine how fast your cells age and when they die, depending on how quickly they wear down. The extraordinary discovery from our research labs and other research labs around the world is that the ends of our chromosomes can actually lengthen. And as a result, aging is a dynamic process that can be accelerated or slowed, and in some aspects, even reversed. Aging need not be, as thought for so long, a one-way slippery slope toward infirmity and decay. We all will get older, but how we age is very much dependent on our cellular health. End quote. We are all, of course, going to get older and age, but the process is dynamic, and we have a lot more influence than we may have thought. Liz and Alyssa tell us that, quote, aging can be defined as the cell's progressive functional impairment and reduced capacity to respond appropriately to environmental stimuli and injuries. Then they ask, why do people age differently? They tell us that one reason is cellular aging. Then they ask, what causes cells to get old before their time? The answer to that? They tell us to think of shoelaces. Quote, do you know the protective plastic tips at the end of your shoelaces? These are called aglets. The aglets are there to keep shoelaces from fraying. Now imagine that your shoelaces are your chromosomes, the structures inside your cells that carry your genetic information. Telomeres, which can be measured in units of DNA known as base pairs, are like the aglets. They form little caps at the end of the chromosomes and keep the genetic material from unraveling. They are the aglets of aging, end quote. So, if you want nice shoelaces, you need nice aglets, right? Same thing with our chromosomes. We need nice, long telomeres at the ends. Here's another way they put it, quote, these are the basic pairs of telomeres that, repeated thousands of times, offer a way of measuring their length. The repeating sequence highlights the difference between telomeres and other DNA. Genes, which are made of DNA, live within a chromosome. Inside a cell, we have 23 pairs of chromosomes for a total of 46. This genetic DNA is what forms your body's blueprint, its instruction manual. Its paired letters create a complicated sentences that send instructions for building the proteins that make up your body. Genetic DNA can help determine how quickly your heart beats, whether your eyes are brown or blue, and whether you're going to have the long legs and arms of a distance runner. The DNA of telomeres is different. First of all, it doesn't live inside any gene. It sits outside all the genes at the very edges of the chromosome that contains genes. And unlike genetic DNA, it doesn't act like a blueprint or code. It's more like a physical buffer. It protects the chromosome during the process of cell division, like beefy football players who surround a quarterback, absorbing the hardest blows from the onrush of opposing players. Telomeres take one for the team. This protection is crucial, end quote. In short, our telomeres are the protectors of our chromosomes. Picture the aglets of your shoelaces, then picture the beefy linemen protecting your quarterback. If your linemen are weak and scrawny, your quarterback is going to get sacked. If your telomeres are short, your chromosomes aren't going to be able to do what they need to do, enter accelerated aging. Now, the practical point of the book is to make the connection between your lifestyle choices and the qualities of those aglets and linemen. Know that you can strengthen and lengthen your telomeres, and in the process, delay the onset of what they call your disease span, the phase of your life marred by poor health, while extending the length of your health span such that you're not just living longer, you're living well longer. The book is packed with a bunch of science about what's going on at the cellular level. For now, remember your aglets and linemen and know that you can optimize your telomeres via some simple yet powerful lifestyle changes. Let's take a look at a few of my favorites we can apply today. Next big idea, your cells are listening to your thoughts. Quote, feeling threatened is not the only way to respond to stress. It's also possible to feel a sense of challenge. People with a challenge response may feel anxious and nervous during a lab stress or test, but they also feel excited and energized. They have a bring it on mentality. Athletes who have a challenge response win more often. And a study of Olympic athletes has shown that these highly successful folks have a history of seeing their life problems as challenges to be surmounted. The challenge response creates the psychological and physiological conditions for you to engage fully, perform at your best, and win. The threat response is characterized by withdrawal and defeat. As you slump in your seat or freeze, your body preparing for wounding and shame as you anticipate a bad outcome. A predominant habitual threat response can, over time, work itself into your cells and grind down your telomeres. A predominant challenge response, though, may help shield your telomeres from some of the worst effects of chronic stress. End quote. Now that's from part two, Your Cells Are Listening to Your Thoughts, chapter four, Unraveling How Stress Gets Into Your Cells. If you've ever doubted the mind-body connection, now's a good time to drop that skepticism. Liz and Alyssa walk through the compelling data that unequivocally establishes the fact that what we think affects our bodies and the trillions of cells trying to keep us optimized. The very first thing they tell us we need to get good at? Seeing our problems as challenges, rather than threats. We talked about this wisdom in various contexts. Check out our notes on the upside of stress for some great wisdom from Kelly McGonigal. Pop quiz, do you remember the simple phrase Kelly tells us we should say to ourselves when we're feeling this stress rise? Answer, I'm excited. Liz and Alyssa reflect on the same research. Simply saying, I'm excited to yourself when you feel those nerves kick in is a great way to use the stress response to help you rock it. So another pop quiz, are you using it yet? If not, get on that. We want to get really good at seeing our problems as challenges, not threats. And that's a really simple yet powerful way to practice. So what do you do when you face a challenge? Do you kind of sort of try to avoid it? Maybe feel bad about the fact that you even have to deal with it? Thinking that something must be wrong with you because you have all these problems, fixed mindset style? Enter threat response, imagine your telomeres shrinking. Or do you rub your hands together, see those problems as reverse indicators that you're up to big things and shout, bring it on. Enter challenge response, see your telomeres expanding. Liz and Alyssa also like the mantra, quote, this is good stress helping me perform, and I'm excited, or my heart is racing and my stomach is doing cartwheels. Fantastic. Those are the signs of a good, strong stress response. My go-to these days, bring it on, baby. I love challenges. Challenges make me stronger. Let's do this. With the occasional boom thrown at the end for good measure. P.S., as you practice optimizing your response to problems, make the connection to your telomeres. If you're feeling it, imagine yourself as the quarterback of your life. Courageously shout your challenge response mantras at your linemen and watch them expand in power, knowing your telomeres are doing the same for every cell in your body. P.P.S., yesterday I had a coaching session with Phil Stutz. As I've mentioned an infinite number of times, his number one tool is basically learning how to shift from a threat to a challenge response. He tells us we need to reverse our desire if we want to grow. Now, I thought he'd get a kick out of the fact that these authors recommend we adopt a bring-it-on attitude if we want to take care of our telomeres. So, I read him the first paragraph of this idea, and we both laughed. P.P.P.S., Liz and Alyssa reference Jim Aframo in this section. He's the mental toughness coach for the San Francisco Giants and author of The Champion's Mind. Check out those notes. Now, they share a story of an Olympic athlete who told him, before every race, my pulse races. My heart is about to jump out of my chest. You've got to help me stop it. His response? Well, after he laughed, he said, do you really want me to stop your heart? He says that the worst thing athletes can do is try to get rid of their stress. Quote, they need to think of stress as helping them get ready to perform. They need to say, yes, I need this. Instead of trying to make the butterflies in their stomach go away, athletes need to make those butterflies line up and fly in formation. Next big idea, mind your telomeres, negative versus resilient thinking. Quote, we are largely unaware of the mental chatter in our minds and how it affects us. Certain thought patterns appear to be unhealthy for telomeres. These include thought suppression and rumination, as well as the negative thinking that characterizes hostility and pessimism. We can't totally change our automatic responses. Some of us are born ruminators or pessimists, but we can learn how to keep those automatic patterns from hurting us and even find humor in them. Here, we invite you to become more aware of your habits of mind. Learning about your style of thinking can be surprising and empowering. End quote. So, we learned about the importance of a challenge response to stressful situations. The next thing we want to get good at? Minding our telomeres by replacing negative thinking with resilient thinking. But only if we want to lengthen our telomeres. Here's the quick look. First, negative thinking. This includes everything from trying to suppress your thoughts or ruminating to letting your mind wander or allowing yourself to feel cynical hostility. The very short story, trying to suppress your thoughts doesn't work. Scientists call this ironic error. Try not to think of a white polar bear and what pops up. Nor does ruminating work. We'd be much better off letting our thoughts roll in and then roll out, recognizing that our thoughts have a very short half-life when we let them pass, kind of like clouds rolling through the sky. Another good way to trim your telomeres, in a bad way, is to allow yourself to get angry. They call it cynical hostility. And then we have mind wandering. Get this, quote, the iPhone mind wandering study showed that when people are not thinking about what they're doing, they're just not as happy as when they're engaged. As researchers observed, a wandering mind is an unhappy mind, end quote. So how to be more resilient? First tip, unitask. In fact, they tell us that focusing on what you're doing right this moment is one of the best ways to high-five your telomeres. So quit multitasking. Another tip, bring awareness to your thoughts. Simply stepping back from the torrent of thoughts and seeing them helps soften their blow and reduce rumination. By the way, they're big fans of acceptance and commitment therapy. Check out our notes on Russ Harris's books for more. And they describe the power of a mindfulness practice many times throughout the book. Meditation, yoga, qigong, pick your favorite, but train your mindfulness. And Liz also shared a cool micro meditation practice where she uses time she used to get bored in and antsy in to take a couple deep breaths and focus her mind. Plus, they love Kristen Neff and self-compassion. Check out those notes for more. And one more way to get your resilience on and watch your telomeres lengthen, purpose. They say, quote, life purpose is what brings us eudaimonic happiness, the healthy feeling that we are involved in something bigger than ourselves. Eudaimonic happiness is not the transitory happiness we experience when eating or buying something we really want. It is the enduring sense of well-being. A strong sense of our values and purpose can serve as a bedrock foundation that helps us feel stability through life events, those earthquakes, both minor and major. In hard times, we can bring them to mind over and over again. Check out Purpose 101 for more on that. For now, how will you mind your telomeres today? As you think about that, here are some more ideas. Next big idea is eat, move, sleep your way to happy telomeres. Quote, when we want to spot the parties responsible for metabolic disease, we point a finger at the highly processed sugary foods and sweetened drinks. We're looking at you, packaged cakes, candies, cookies, and sodas. These are the foods and drinks most associated with compulsive eating. They light up the reward system in your brain. They are almost immediately absorbed into the blood, and they trick the brain into thinking we are starving and need more food. While we used to think all nutrients had similar effects on weight and metabolism, a calorie is a calorie, this is wrong. Simply reducing sugars, even if you eat the same number of calories, can lead to metabolic improvements. Simple carbs wreak more havoc on metabolism and control over appetite than other types of foods. End quote. So after getting our minds right, we move to our bodies. The book is basically a scientific overview of why our fundamentals are super important. Eating, moving, and sleeping each get their own chapter, echoing what we talk about all the time. Here's a very quick look at some highlights. Eat. Number one tip, reduce/eliminate the sugar. And note, that's a Nobel laureate coming down on the side of the metabolic theory and the fact that a calorie is not a calorie. Eat more whole foods, eliminate the kryptonite. Quote, adding healthy foods to your diet is great, but it may be even more important to avoid the kind of processed, sugary, junky foods that feed cellular enemies. End quote. Move. Now, it doesn't take a ton, as little as 3 45-minute moderate aerobic workouts can do it, but it's super important to be fit. Good news for ultra and endurance athletes, train, run, etc., as long as you want, provided you don't feel burned out. And note, quote, if you have a high-stress life, exercise is not just good for you, it's essential. It protects you from stress-shortened telomeres, end quote. Then we have sleep. They share the same sleep hygiene tips we cover in Sleep 101. Unless you're in the 5% of the population that can get by on less, you and your telomeres need 7-plus hours per night. Quote, then again, if you feel terrible without 8 or 9 hours of sleep, don't try to scrape by with 7. Get those extra hours. And remember that rule of thumb, which offers highly customized sleep advice. If you feel sleepy during the day, you need more sleep at night. End quote. All of which leads us to our next and final big idea, a friendly challenge. What is your cellular legacy? Quote, telomere science has grown into a clarion call. It tells us that social stressors, especially as they affect children, will result in exponentially higher costs down the line. Costs that are personal, physical, social, and economic. You can respond to that call by first taking good care of yourself. The call doesn't end there. Now that you know how to protect your telomeres, we want to issue a friendly challenge. What will you do with your many decades of brimming good health? A long health span makes a vital, energetic life more possible, and that vitality can ripple outward, allowing us to spend some of our time creating conditions for better health and well-being in other people. What is your cellular legacy? Each of us has a time-limited opportunity to leave a legacy. Just as your body is a community of individual but mutually dependent cells, we are a world of interdependent people. We all have an impact on the world, whether we realize it or not. Large changes, such as implementing policies for societal stress reduction, are vital. Small changes are important too. How we interact with other people shapes their feelings and sense of trust. Every day, each of us has a chance to positively influence the life of another person. End quote. Now, those are some of the last words in the book in the final section called Outside In, The Social World Shapes Your Telomeres, in which Liz and Alyssa walk us through how our environment shapes us and how we, in turn, have an opportunity, and I would say a moral obligation, to help shape our world positively. One of the alarming things they point out in this section is the fact that the hardship one tends to experience in poverty affects the length of the telomeres of the people who have experienced it. And science shows that those individuals pass on their short telomeres to their children, who, unless their environment changes, will then continue the cycle. The first step to making a difference? Mind your own telomeres. Optimize your life. But that, of course, is only the first step. It's the vehicle, but not the destination. The real question? What cellular legacy will you leave? How will you give your greatest gifts and greatest service to the world? Give us what you've got. We need you now more than ever before. With love and high fives to you and your telomeres, I say, let's do this. I hope you enjoyed this quick look at The Telomere Effect. It's a phenomenal book. If you enjoyed it and you enjoy the science of well-being and healthy lifestyle behaviors, this is the book to read. It's truly great, well-written, incredibly comprehensive, and all rigorously backed by science. If you enjoyed this, note, I think you'll also enjoy The Upside of Stress, Mindsight, The Champion's Mind, Self-Compassion, and Wherever You Go, There You Are. Now for some great quotes, and we'll wrap it up. Liz and Alyssa tell us, which is right, nature or nurture, genes or environment? Actually, both are critical, and it's the interaction between the two that matters most. It also meant that our life experiences and the way we respond to those events can change the lengths of our telomeres. In other words, we can change the way that we age at the most elemental cellular level. As the obesity researcher George Bray has said, genes load the gun, and the environment pulls the trigger. His words apply not just to weight gain, but to most aspects of life. People don't generally show responses that are all threat or all challenge. Most experience some of both. In one study, we found that it was the proportion of these responses that mattered most for telomere health. The volunteers who felt more threat than challenge had shorter telomeres. Those who saw the stressful task as more of a challenge than a threat had longer telomeres. Therefore, bring it on. They also tell us experiencing stress and pain is unavoidable. It is part and parcel of being involved in life, of loving and caring for people, caring about issues, and taking risks. Use the challenge response to protect yourselves while you engage fully with your life. As Ralph Waldo Emerson said, don't be too squeamish about your actions. All life is an experiment. The more experiments you make, the better. You can start to renew your telomeres and your cells right now. One study has found that people who tend to focus their minds more on what they are currently doing have longer telomeres than people whose minds tend to wander more. Other studies find that taking a class that offers training in mindfulness or meditation is linked to improved telomere maintenance. They tell us negative thoughts are like microtoxins, relatively harmless when your exposure is low, but in high quantities, they are poisonous to your mind. Personality traits like cynical hostility and pessimism may damage your telomeres, but there's one personality trait that appears to be good for them, conscientiousness. Conscientious people are organized, persistent, and task-oriented. They work hard toward long-term goals, and their telomeres tend to be longer. And finally, as Helen Keller said, character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Only through experiences of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, vision cleared, ambition inspired, and success achieved. There you go. The telomere effect. I really hope you enjoyed. What was your favorite idea? How do you move from theory to practice on it just a little bit more today? High five your telomeres and make today another awesome day. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to optimize.me to download more.